everyone. I'm Dr. Sidel Ross, and I'd like to welcome you to episode 2 of Prescriptions in Song. Thank you for tuning in. In this episode, I will be highlighting some of the research that has been recently published in the medical literature that lends support to the use of music-based interventions in patient care. But before I begin with the discussion of the journal articles, I would like to do two things. Firstly, I would like to say thank you for the positive feedback that has been coming in from all over the world. I am so grateful for your support, and I hope that you will continue to tune in for future episodes. Secondly, I would like to take a little bit of time to explain what the field of hospice and palliative medicine is all about. In the first episode, I mentioned that I'm currently practicing hospice and palliative medicine. And I later received questions from a few listeners that made it clear to me that some clarification is needed. So I'll start by explaining what palliative medicine is. The word palliative comes from the verb palliate, which literally means to ease or to soothe. In palliative medicine, the goal is to ease the suffering of people who are living with life-limiting or life-threatening illnesses such as cancer, lung disease such as COPD, heart failure, dementia, and other nervous system disorders such as Parkinson's disease, just to name a few. By our efforts to ease the suffering of patients and their loved ones, we try to improve the quality of life for our patients and their loved ones as they proceed with their medical care. We try to ease suffering by providing management of distressing symptoms such as pain, shortness of breath, anxiety and depression, just to name a few. And we also assist patients and families with medical decision-making so that as they proceed with their care, the medical decisions that they make are in keeping with their life's goals. Because palliative care aims to care for the whole person, we also offer emotional or psychological support, as well as chaplain support services. I need to highlight that palliative care is available to anyone at any stage of a life-threatening or life-limiting illness. This is different from hospice care. Hospice care is dedicated to easing the suffering and promoting the quality of life for patients and their loved ones during the final 6 months of life. When someone is receiving hospice care, their life-limiting or life-threatening illness has become so advanced that the life expectancy of the patient is usually 6 months or less if the illness runs its expected course. So to summarize, we can think of palliative care as a continuum that starts from the diagnosis of the illness and continues until death, with hospice care being provided during the final 6 months of life. So now that I've clarified that, let's delve into episode 2. I think most, if not all of us, can think of several occasions in our lives when music has helped to uplift us when we were feeling down. Most people can attest to the therapeutic effect of music in their own lives. With the new data that's emerging from these studies, it's encouraging to see this therapeutic effect borne out by scientific evidence. The first article I'll be discussing is a pilot study entitled Music Intervention as a Tool in Improving Patient Experience in Palliative Care by Cynthia Peng and colleagues from the Warren Alpert Medical School of Brown University and the Palliative Care Division of the CARE New England Healthcare System. The article was published in the American Journal of Hospice and Palliative Medicine earlier this year. Now, these researchers were interested in looking at the effect of adding music to standard care for patients receiving hospice or palliative care consults at two hospitals in the New England healthcare system. During June and July of 2017, all patients receiving either palliative care or hospice care were eligible to participate in the study. There was a total of 46 patients enrolled, 37 women and 9 men, with an age range of 37 to 96 years old. Most of the participants had a cancer diagnosis, but others suffered from other major organ diseases such as lung disease, heart disease, kidney disease, and diseases of the organs of the gastrointestinal system. Participants, or their surrogates, were presented with a specific list of symptoms, including pain, shortness of breath, nausea, depression, anxiety, and overall feeling of well-being. And they were asked to rate these symptoms on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being the absence of the symptom, and 10 being the worst possible intensity. The only symptom that was scored differently was the symptom of well-being. A score of 0 indicated the best possible feeling, and a score of 10 indicated the worst possible feeling. At this point, a musician, who was not a licensed music therapist, determined the patient's musical preferences and performed these selections for the patient using the flute. The genre and specific pieces of music performed were chosen in a collaborative effort by the patient, musician, and family. After the music intervention, the patient immediately filled out another symptom assessment scale. The researchers wanted to see if there was any difference between the pre- and post-music intervention scores. The patients or their surrogates were also given a qualitative questionnaire, which enabled them to express how the music intervention made them feel immediately after the session. They were asked, "How satisfied were you with the music? Was there any particular piece of music that you connected with personally? Did the music improve your hospital stay?" And the respondents were also asked to provide any comments or suggestions to improve the program. Only 43 of the 46 patients were able to complete the pre- and post-music intervention symptom assessment scale. Even though it was a small study, their statistical analysis demonstrated enough evidence to show that there was a significant difference between the pre- and post-music intervention scores for all six symptoms. There was an overall decrease in pain, nausea, depression, anxiety, shortness of breath, and a significant increase in overall feelings of well-being. With regard to the symptom of pain, the researchers conducted further analysis to assess the effect of the music intervention on patients' use of opioid pain medication. 33 patients in this study were using opioid medication for pain control. 19 of those patients had stays long enough to assess pain scores 24 hours pre-intervention and 24 hours post-intervention. The other 14 patients on opioid medication had shorter stays, but their pain scores were also measured for concomitant periods of time pre- or post-intervention. For example, if the music intervention took place within 10 hours of admission, only the subsequent 10 hours would be considered for analysis. If a patient was discharged 10 hours after the intervention took place, only the previous 10 hours would be considered for analysis. What they found across the cohort of 33 patients was a trend towards a decrease in opioid consumption, suggesting that music had an analgesic effect as well. Upon review of the comments and stories collected in the qualitative survey, the researchers noted the emergence of certain themes related to spirituality, comfort, connection, escape, and reflection. Comments made by patients and their surrogates included, "The music made me think of God, granting me grace, peace, and strength. The music brought me closer to God. The music put me in another place, a happy place. I felt like I was in my own world." Others said, "It was calming, soothing. I didn't think of anything for once. There was a tendency for my mind to scramble, but it all went away." The music created an open emotional space to connect with my heartfelt emotions and deeper, thoughtful reflections. The music brought a sense of solitude away from my problems. I used to play baby Mozart and Bach to my daughter when she was little. It's been years, but it brought me right back. The daughters of a patient opened up and reported the patient hummed Italian arias while doing the dishes, and it reminded them of their childhood before their mother got dementia. The daughter of a patient had been taking care of her mother for the past 2 months and spent all of her free time in the hospital. She described the music as a release. Another patient said, "The music took me mentally and spiritually out of here. It allowed me to escape the moment, especially the pain. As soon as you stopped playing, the pain returned. But for the moment at least, I was able to focus on the music and escape the pain." Another patient said, "You know you're in a hospital environment, but by bringing in music, it offers warmth and comfort in an otherwise cold place." There was also a comment stating, "Music frees me from everything on my mind. I feel trapped here. I mean, the view is nice, the nurses are nice, but I still feel so trapped. I'm thinking about a lot of things. This brought me a sense of quiet, even though I have to mentally return to here after the music ended." Finally, other patients responded by saying, "I want to go home in a happy mood. I want to spend as much time with my kids and grandkids as possible. I am now getting discharged in a good mood." Amid the patient's mild mental status change, he recalled a memory of visiting a winery with his family the previous Thanksgiving. The patient's son noted the music just reminded him of a happy event outside the hospital, and it seemed to make him happy to think of that. In the end, the researchers commented on some of the study's limitations, such as the small study size and the lack of a control group. Control groups are important in clinical studies because they allow us to compare groups with and without the intervention being studied. That way, we can get a more accurate assessment of the effect of the intervention. Because of the very small study size, however, the researchers did not want to exclude anyone. They wanted as many patients as possible to experience the music intervention. They also noted that they did not assess whether the opioid medications were given immediately prior to the intervention, which could confound the results. Additionally, they pointed out that it was difficult to determine if the therapeutic effects of the music were attributable to the music itself or to the presence of the musician. I think these researchers have presented some encouraging data, suggesting that live music can be helpful in the management of specific symptoms in the field of hospice and palliative medicine. And I wonder if this can be investigated in other fields of medicine as well. I would make the claim that in just about every field of medicine, there's need for management of physical symptoms, as well as a need for comfort, a need for a feeling of connection, a need for overall well-being. It appears that live music interventions in the hospital setting can help to furnish those needs to some degree at least. My hope is that more research will be done so we can start looking at the effect of live music interventions on the patient experience in other fields of medicine. I would like to thank you all for tuning in. And once again, I welcome your comments and suggestions, and I invite you to share of your life experiences in which music played a role in promoting your health and overall sense of well-being. I hope that you will tune in for the next episode. Until then, take care of yourselves and one another.